Welcome to the Creativity Cafe for the creatively adventurous and the relentlessly curious.
We have inspiring conversations with creative women from all over the world.
I'm Paige Baldwinando, and I'm a creativity coach who helps people maximize their creative potential, and I'm also a writer.
And I'm Jordana Matsuda. I'm an illustrator on my creative journey, with Paige helping me along the way.
We're both long-term residents of Japan, a country bursting with creative energy that inspires us every day.
So go grab a cup of tea and join us in discovering new creative landscapes here on the Creativity Cafe.
Hi, Jordana.
Hello, Paige.
So I'm wondering if you find podcasting to be a creative medium for you.
Surprisingly, to be honest, I do. when we first started out, mm-hmm. we were thinking about doing this. It was because we wanted to, you know, speak to creative women all around the world. And just by speaking to them, the creative inspiration has really opened up for me. Mm-hmm. And just hearing everybody's stories, like that process of connecting with other creative people around the world is so inspiring, which makes me more creative. And also, like, just thinking about each podcast recording as its own little creative thing and trying to make it sound and be something that other people can enjoy, which in itself is a, you know, creative process, I feel anyway. So even though at first I thought maybe, because I do a lot of the editing and that kind of stuff, I thought, oh, it's quite techie, but actually really making me think about how people will listen to the pod and how people will feel, you know, after listening to it. So yeah, I really enjoy that process. How about you?
Yeah, I feel the same way. And like, kind of to add on to what you were just saying, like it's a kind of conversation also between us and the listeners, right? Exactly. Like even, yeah, like we're having a conversation with the guest, but there's also this ongoing conversation between us and the listeners who reach out to say something to us or to tell us something that inspired them about the podcast and all of that. That part feels very creative in and of itself, the thought that we're making something for people to share with us, right?
Like, exactly. Yeah.
It's really lovely, that aspect. And for me too, even just like the shaping of each episode is creative. It feels interesting to me. We have so much that goes into the preparation for each episode. And I find that part to be creatively inspiring, just, you know, researching each guest and wondering about their creative work and thinking about the questions to ask them, to me, just feels like a really fun creative process in and of itself, you know?
Yeah. It is surprisingly creative, hey? Yeah. Did you expect to feel this creative, like creatively inspired?
I guess I didn't. Yeah. I guess, you know, before we started the podcast, I really had this idea that it was going to be difficult, like technically difficult. And that scared me off a little bit, you know, like it didn't scare me off, but it gave me pause, let's say.
Yes. Yeah.
And there are creative hurdles, you know, and there are things to overcome and there are things to think about when it comes to structure and what we want it to be and all that, but it's fun more than anything. It's incredibly fun. And it's super fun. My favorite part of it is doing it with you.
Oh, yeah. We are lucky that we have each other to, you know, we inspire each other, hey, to to be better or to, you know, remember the fun elements of making these type of things.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just this, you know, enjoyable, friendly process that we get to do together. And then we get to bring a third person in to share.
Yay.
And the energy. And then also to go back to what you were saying earlier, like then we're like each episode is kind of like a a pearl that we're adding to a string, you know, a necklace, like we're adding a bead a necklace every time. And that is also creative, to create the body of work overall feels creatively energizing to me.
Yeah. Because if you think about any creative project that you would do, like you with your writing or me with painting, you know, it's kind of a similar process, isn't it? You're kind of like, you're researching and then you're making and then you're putting it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a similar process. It's just, you know, a different medium.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then each creative thing you do gives you some kind of energy or juice for other creative things as well, at least in my experience. Like, anything I do creatively reminds me, oh, I know how to do this. You know, this is fun.
And it kind of gives you confidence to like take that next step. I really feel like making this podcast with you and speaking to all these amazing women has really given me confidence to feel like, you know what, yeah, I can do it. And, you know, I'm going to take a bigger step forward next time rather than a small little shuffle.
And I find the guests that we have on so inspiring in their accomplishments, you know, and just being around them is something that reminds me that, like, we can do this as humans, like women, as human women, our age, all over the world. Yeah, we're doing these things, and it's exciting to be one of them. You know,
it really is
part of this cohort of creative women worldwide doing cool and interesting things.
Yes.
So, speaking of which, today's guest is Jane Nakata, who is a podcaster who began here in Japan. Was it 5 years ago?
Jordan? Yes, it was. Yeah, she said 5 years ago.
Yeah, doing just little episodes of her podcast in her closet, she said, which I love the story of. And since then, she's built an audience and a community around her work, which is exciting to be part of, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's really interesting to hear, like, why she decided to start it up and how, you know, how making the podcast has given her so much. It's really lovely.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's inspiring too, I think, for anybody listening who might be thinking of making a podcast themselves, because, you know, as we talked about, it can feel a little intimidating, and it's worth it.
It is. It is.
So with that, let's have a listen to our conversation with Jane Nakata. Originally from New Zealand, Jane Nakata is the award-winning host of the number one podcast for international women living in Japan, Transformations with Jane. She's also the co-host of the Japan and New Zealand business podcast, Jandals in Japan. In 2021, Jane started Pod Launch with Jane, which helps podcasters around the world to launch and run their own show. Jane's Pod Launch family is a growing network of podcasts that focuses on community and empowering women. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Hello, it's great to be here. And wow, it sounded really flash when you were reading it out for me like that.
That's you, my friend.
Yeah, you're doing amazing work.
I'm so thrilled to be on this Creativity Cafe. It's great to see this podcast come to fruition. Congratulations, ladies, on getting over that hurdle.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, we did it.
You've been an inspiration to us.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. It's great to see more and more shows by women living in Japan coming out, so we can all have access to more voices speaking about things that we want to hear about.
Exactly. Yes. Totally agree.
So, Jane, we start every pod with the same question. So what's your first memory of doing something creative?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I was thinking about, oh, what would that be? And my first memory, a very clear memory that I have, is drawing a self-portrait of myself. And we must have been practicing this at school, because my classroom teacher had taught us some sort of skills about how to balance a face when you're drawing a face, you know, like the nose is sort of in the middle and the eyes are halfway and all, you know, so that you would get quite a good self-portrait. And I remember sitting in front of the mirror and drawing myself, and I was really proud of what I drew. And I can even remember that this, I drew it on this green piece of paper for some reason, like a piece of note paper, took it to school and I showed my teacher and he was very impressed. And in my mind, it's the most amazing self-portrait, like really accurate self-portrait mm-hmm. that I remember drawing. I would love to see that self-portrait today and see exactly what I drew from my, you know, eyes of a 43-year-old woman. But my memory from being like a 7 or 8 year old child was that it was a fantastic self-portrait.
I love that memory. I love that you have that. How lovely.
That's such a positive, you obviously have such a positive feeling around that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not a drawer or a painter. You know, I've never gone on to do any more drawing or painting much after that. But for some reason, I, you know, had this moment of creative genius, I guess you want to call it. Yeah. I don't know what it was, very strange. But just giving me that sort of base to work from, I think that the teacher giving us that formula of this is how a face is sort of put together. You know, the eyes are actually in the middle of the head and not way up the top. You know, when you see kids drawing faces, they look a bit sort of out, you know, strange almost, you know, mm-hmm. that's how to proportion a face when you're drawing. It gave me what I needed to get going.
Mm-hmm. And maybe like even more important than the outcome is how you felt about it.
Well, yeah. I don't think I'd ever felt super, you know, proud of a piece of work like that before. But yeah, definitely that self-portrait sticks in my mind. I would really, really love to find that piece of paper. I don't think it exists anymore. It must have gone in the trash a long time ago somehow, some way. Right. Yeah, I've looked for it, but yeah. It's long gone, I think. Yes.
Right. Well, will you tell us a bit about how you came to your path as a podcaster? Like what brought you to where you are at this point in your podcasting journey?
Yeah, so the medium of podcasting was a way to be less lonely, I guess. My life here, where I live in Japan, in this part of Fukushima, is quite isolated from other women like myself who are from another country but have married a Japanese person and live in Japan. I had two small children at the time who were sort of 3 or 5-ish years old, I think. So we're talking at least 5 years ago. And I wasn't terribly happy with my life at the time. I sort of thought, you know, my career's not advancing. I'm at home with two children all day and finding it really hard. And thinking, oh, if I move to my own country, if I move back to New Zealand and I made my husband give up his job and we moved away from our life here, surely everything would be great. I would be so happy. I would be able to have the career that I haven't been able to have and all of these things. But then I sort of had this realization that, you know, wherever you go, there you are, kind of thing. So even if I did run away to New Zealand, potentially wasn't going to work out how I thought. And so I thought, well, I live in Japan. I need to commit to living in Japan and making the most of living here. What's missing from this life in Japan that is making me unhappy? And it was that connection thing. So I thought, okay, let's try and find other women who are the same as me, you know, married to a Japanese man, have children. And I was very into podcasts at the time. And so I thought, oh, let's look for a podcast. You know, I can listen to that while I'm doing all the things that we do all day as parents of small children. And couldn't find anything. I could barely find any podcasts about Japan. And if I did find one, they were more sort of aimed at English language learning. And that's not me. And so somebody, and that somebody is somebody called Jackie Miyabayashi. I always love to say thank you to her for this. But she said to me, you have a voice for radio. Mm. You have a voice for radio. And that really stuck with me. And I thought, well, why don't I give it a go, this podcast thing? I will talk about what I'm doing, which is trying to find my way to a life that I really love, living in Japan. And the show will be about me and my journey, but it'll also be about the other women that I meet along the way. And so that's what happened. And I just got started with my little setup, which was an iPhone and a set of headphones that connect to your iPhone with a little mic on it. And I climbed into a closet, which was very small and dark, and but had soft furnishings in there, you know, think clothes and a big pile of curtains to sit on. And so I recorded my first episode, and there was no intro music. It was very much minimum viable product, but I put it out there and people listened. Like, of course, my mum listened, but also other people listened too. And slowly, slowly it found its community, the community that I had been searching. And through recording the show, my community has grown. I have met so many women doing really interesting things all over Japan. So it given me what I needed, which was that community. I still live in the same house. I still live in the same neighborhood. There's still no foreigners around me where I live here in Japan, but I get to meet and connect with these women. And so now whenever I go somewhere in Japan, I have this amazing network of people who I can meet up with. And I got to meet you guys recently as well, didn't we? When I was in Tokyo. And so it's just given me so much that I had no idea what would happen when I started it. But yeah, here we are 5 years later talking on this podcast about it.
Yeah. What a beautiful story of bravery. and of like, you know, I love how you put it that, you know, essentially you were looking for community and then you discovered that you could create it. You could create exactly what it was that you wanted through that bravery, through doing the thing.
Yeah, I think at the time, that's exactly the kind of sort of low-key community was what I needed. I just wanted to hear other women and hear what they had to say, and that I wasn't the only person who was struggling with my life here in Japan, or having good days and bad days, and days I wanted to pack up my suitcase and just leave, and days where I, you know, had just this fantastic Japanese experience, which nobody back home would understand how wonderful it was. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how that came about, and through the podcast. So yeah, podcasting is amazing how it changes people's lives. It's certainly changed mine, and I know it changed the lives of listeners as well, listening to other women talking about things and giving them inspiration for how they can maybe do something different in their life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, there is so much, I think, especially for women that as mothers in particular, but not only as mothers, like there's so much pressure to do things a certain way and to look like you're not struggling with it.
Mm.
Right? But we are, because what is asked of us is really too much. It's impossible. And so inevitably we struggle, right? The sort of standards for women are so high as to be unreachable. And so of course we struggle. And when we get together and we have those conversations, it creates, of course, this feeling of community, but also this feeling of like, oh, nothing's wrong with me.
Yeah.
It's normal. How I'm feeling is normal, mm-hmm. and universal, even among women.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important to have those real conversations. This is not just the shiny veneer that you might put up on Instagram. It's the back mm-hmm. end as well. And yeah, all of the tricky things that we as women particularly, yeah, experience here in this life in Japan. So mm-hmm. at the start, I didn't actually know that I wanted to do it about women in Japan. I just thought I would interview people who, you know, who I was friends with, kind of thing. And so I had a few people from all over the world, and slowly, slowly I realized, no, this has to be very niche. This has mm-hmm. to be for the women who are from another country living in Japan. If anyone else likes it, that's great, but this is for them. And when I did that, then, yeah, that's when things really took off. So, yeah, it's very important to find that little, yeah, community that you really want to speak to, especially if you're thinking about something like starting a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You found your people, it sounds like.
Yeah, really, really niche down to finding my people. But I've been overseas and things since I started this, and I actually had someone come up to me and say, is this you? And this is your podcast, eh? And I'm like, yeah. Wow, like someone in a different country was listening to it just because they had a nexus to Japan as well, and that's how they'd found it.
How cool.
So, Jane, which part of the podcasting process do you feel is most creative?
Yeah, that's a good question because a lot of it can be very mechanical, editing things, cutting things out. I think for me, it was not trying to plan everything, not trying to script everything, and just seeing what happens when two people get on a microphone and start talking. And that's okay, because I actually had a lot of personal sort of limiting beliefs about my ability to host a podcast. And you probably think, well, that's a load of rubbish. Like if you listen to the show, you have no trouble hosting a podcast. But I had this really huge limiting belief at the start that I couldn't interview anyone and I wouldn't know what questions to ask them because I never have a question. I'm not the kid in the class who's always got 10 questions, when the teacher says, does anyone have any questions? I never had any questions. I was like, okay, yes. So that limiting belief sort of was coming up for me. Oh, I could never interview anyone because I thought I had to be CNN. I thought I had to be, tell us, why did your husband leave you or something? Nobody needs to talk about that on my show. That's not the kind of show we're doing. So realizing that, I could actually just listen to what the person was telling me, and that would give me the hint for what was coming next. So that was part of sort of being creative, not trying to script the whole thing out and control what was going to come out. And through that, we would get the most beautiful conversations, and we'd get to the end and go, wow, didn't think we were going to talk about that, or didn't think you were going to tell me for the first, you were going to tell the first person ever in the world that you're going to write a book on X. They didn't, that person didn't even know that that was what they were thinking when they started the conversation with me, but it came out. And yeah, it was just really amazing to have that sort of to grow that ability to just work with whatever comes up in the conversation. So that's kind of one thing I find being creative with in podcasting and also helping other people with their podcasts, which is something I do now professionally. And found out that, oh, people will pay you to create for them, right? Because often people don't know what they want to do. They know they want to do a podcast, but they don't know what it should look like because they haven't taken a step yet. But working together, I can help them with that. And that's another way that I've found that it's really rewarding part of podcasting is helping other people to start theirs and to see, oh, actually, you thought you should do a podcast about business, but actually, you need to do a podcast about this other topic, which is your heart topic. Yeah. Not your should topic. Something that somebody said to you once, oh, you should do this, is not what it is. So helping them find that and then helping them find their concept for their show and create their visual that's going to go out with the show. Their, find what colors are going to work for them. I didn't know that I could do that until I started sort of giving it a go. And the more I did it, it was really exciting and fun. So that's something, yeah, that I never thought I would be find myself doing because I get quite overwhelmed with having to choose things, like choose colors. I'm not like, if I went into like a fabric shop and you said, choose your new curtains, I'd be like, no, please don't make me choose. I can't. Like, can you do it for me? I get very easily overwhelmed. But when I have some direction from someone, like I can see what they already have in their personal branding, I can work with that, right? I can work really well within their sort of boundaries that they have. But I find it very easy to get overwhelmed. Do you ever find that you get overwhelmed with colors or material, trying to choose things? Like when I was building my house, I don't know if you've ever built a house in Japan and they give you all these catalogs and say, go for it, choose what you want. And it's like a dream come true for most people, but I just found it really overwhelming. I was like, white, let's have white and brown floors and white. That was me trying to build a house. Like, yeah. What would you do if someone, like, if you had that opportunity?
Oh, I think that's my dream.
Yeah.
Dream, right? Yeah.
The difficult bit would be my husband and I coming to a consensus about something.
Right.
He's minimalist and I'm maximalist. So, yeah, I know exactly what colours I'd have. But I work with colours all day, every day. So
right.
That's my passion. So, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But Jane, listening to you as you're, describing what you found through the process of doing the podcast and helping people make theirs, is it sounds like what you're tapping into is a kind of deep listening. You're listening really intently to the other person and then finding what it is they're saying, together.
That's exactly it. You've just nailed it, Paige. There you go. Thank you for putting it so eloquently, what I just took 10 minutes to say. But yeah, it is. It's a lot of listening. It's a lot of looking what they already have, what they already like, and thinking and just sort of seeing how could we make this into something really awesome together. So that's exactly what it is. So I guess I'm using that listening power. That's also helping me actually when I record the podcast, listening to the guests to find that next thing we're going to talk about. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, thank you. I've learned something about myself now.
Oh, lovely.
That's your bio. So, yeah, I'm curious too. Like, we've kind of brought out like that piece about what, you have come to as you have been in the process of learning how to podcast and learning how to interview and learning how to do all the things you're doing as you go. And I'm curious, in that process, what has felt surprising to you? What surprised you along this path?
Oh, so many things. What has surprised me? First of all, that people would listen. That was surprising. Mm-hmm. And so very quickly that we got through that. Yes, okay, people are listening. And then the next thing was that people would pay me to help them with the skills that I had learned, and something that was difficult became easy, and I forgot how valuable of a skill it can be to other people. And then people started coming to me and saying, well, could you help me? I'll pay you. And I was like, what? Me? Who? What? Pay me? Like, oh no, I couldn't help you. And then sort of like stopping and realizing, oh, another limiting belief coming up for you there. And when I sort of stopped to think about it, I was thinking, oh, okay, you're just letting your current circumstances influence you here. You do actually know what could help this person and they need your help. So let's step up. So that was surprising. And when I did that and I did a reasonable job, obviously more people had noticed this other person doing something and said, how are you doing that? Oh, Jane, help me. Oh, can you help me? So more people were coming to me through word of mouth as well. So that was also surprising. Just this ripple effect of when you take an action, what happens next? When I got to the microphone and started using a microphone, other microphone opportunities started coming to me. That was also interesting. So I find myself being an MC at an event for, I think it was the Rugby World Cup we had here 4 years ago in Japan. And the Samoa team came to my city and I was the English MC for this event to welcome them to the city. I'm like, how on earth? They don't know anything about my podcasting, but suddenly there's more sort of opportunities around using my voice started to come to me as well. That was very surprising. So yeah, when you take one action, you don't know the ripples that you will cause with this action, but you will see, the ripples turning into other opportunities coming towards you. So, yeah, be careful what you do, basically, because get where you spend that time.
I think that's really important what you just said, that like when you put yourself into a situation, more of that may come to you, like that when you do a thing and you put your energy and your time and your attention and your care into it, there are ripple effects, and there are things that come back to you, boomerang effects, maybe.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And what a lovely thing to know that when you get out there, because I think for many of us, visibility is scary.
Yeah.
Right. Was that it? Was that the case for you at all? Were you, did you have anything there about around visibility or being seen?
Yes, definitely. And especially even in the last year or 6 months where my visibility has gone kind of through the roof and my inner critic was just screaming like, who are you to be doing this at this level and talking to these people and going to these events? You know, you're just this country bumpkin from a small town in New Zealand, like get back in the forest, you know. It was, it's not fun, right? To have this, it was, yeah, this sort of voice screaming at me like, danger, danger, new level, new devil, as they say, right? It took a lot of naps to get through it. And I say naps because like sleeping is really good for those situations.
Yeah.
Right? Just sleeping on it. If someone gives you an opportunity that really sort of triggers your inner critic or inner self-worth, like don't just say no straight away. Just say, let me think about that and have a nap or go to sleep, wake up the next day. You'll probably find that it now seems achievable. But yeah, sleeping on it, it took a week or more of sleeping on it. It took some work with my hypnotherapist who helps me sometimes when I get stuck and to help me sort of let go of these old beliefs, like that belief of being a small town girl. You know, I never lived in a big city and, you know, who are you to be doing these things? You don't deserve to be at this big party or something, you know, like this really old beliefs coming up. That's what happens when you get to these new exciting things that you actually want to do. Yeah. That's the thing. You actually want to do it, but things stopping you is just your old programming getting in the way. So
And it's here. It wants to protect you. That's
yes,
all
it wants to keep you safe. Like, really screaming that danger, danger.
Right.
Uncharted territory here. Yeah.
Right. And once we recognize it for what it is, which is fear, right? As opposed to like the voice of truth.
Yeah, it's not true at all. It's just like...
It's really not true at all. And then you can kind of calm it, right? Like, okay, that's all right. You know, I've done scary things before. And they were fine. Yeah. I moved to Japan, for goodness sake. You know, that's scary.
You are going to survive this networking event. You are not going to die. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jane, listening to what you've just been saying, I'm really interested to find out how much intuition guides you to make certain decisions and how much you listen to your own intuition.
Oh, yeah. That's something I've been really working on in the last sort of 6 months, is learning to develop my intuition, because I have had examples where I have ignored my intuition in the past and really regretted it and, you know, made choices based on, you know, made head choices that were against my gut feelings and then regretted it, you know, because maybe the numbers look good, or maybe I thought it would give me, you know, X experience or something, but it was a painful decision to learn, you know, a painful experience to go through and learn that lesson. So yeah, in the last sort of 6 months, I've been working on building my intuition. And recently I had, it was 6 months ago, I had an opportunity to enter myself into a competition for something, and it was really triggering me. And I almost was like, no, I'm not going to do this. And then I was thinking, well, is this a fear thing? Or if you actually enter this, something good could happen, or it could be really amazing. And my intuition was telling me, just do it. Just take part. You know, you don't have to win it. You know, just take part. Just be a participant in this. And so took a nap, slept on it. Next day I was like, right, we're submitting this. And so I called in my friends who I sometimes ask for help when I know I might avoid something because it's a little bit challenging. And I said, don't let me not submit to this competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't let me get away with it. And they helped me with my submission and they read things. And together we created the submission and I ended up winning. And it was like,
oh, wow.
And it was great to win. But that was also when I had that, like, oh my God, you know, they should have given it to the other one or whatever, you know, but that was another learning experience. But it was a great thing to go through because I definitely grew through that. It was quite uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
but it was good for me in the end, right? It was, you know, it was worth it. And it was because I did listen to that intuition. This is going to be good. All you have to do is take part. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting as you're talking, like, it sounds like you know exactly what it is that you can turn to help you when there is that place of like, oh my goodness, what am mm-hmm. I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You can take a nap. You can turn to your people, who you know, your people and who are supportive. Because I think very often when we're trying to create something, it's super important who we choose to talk to about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Some people are amazing in that capacity. And then we all know that there are some people who we just shouldn't mention it to because they're not going to be helpful.
Yeah. Who's your cheerleaders? Who's your naysayers? Yeah.
Exactly.
And to know who those people are. But yeah, also that sort of self-awareness I didn't always have. And mm-hmm. that has been a process and majorly started by reading a book about by Gretchen Rubin, because I'm one of Gretchen's fan club here in Tokyo, the unofficial fan club. We call ourselves Gretchen's Geeks. Anyway, Gretchen Rubin and her four tendencies. And so she has a book now called The Four Tendencies. But before that, there was she wrote another book. And in that book, she talks about these tendencies that she's noticed. And it was just a huge awakening to realize that there's nothing wrong with me. I can do anything as long as I have that support network that I need to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always thought I was just lazy and, you know, I didn't want to do things and I didn't want to do things for myself. I can do anything for other people, but it was this lack of ability to do things for myself that I thought I was broken. But it's not. It's just that I need support in that area. And the support is having that accountability. So when I have accountability, I can do anything. And, you know, it's led me to train for a half marathon. It's led me to, you know, keep doing this podcasting because I know that, you know, there's people waiting for an episode to come out. It's why I can be a parent, a good parent, right? You know, most days, because I have that accountability. My kids are like, where's my dinner, mom? You know, like, I can cook dinner. But if I didn't have kids, I was useless before I had kids, right? I never get dinner done, you know? It's like, oh, I don't want to cook for myself. So, yeah, when I realized accountability is what turns me into someone who can do anything, then that's what I need, yeah? And so, yeah, when it's a challenging thing, find those people who are going to pull me along. Because when we're talking about that example of submitting for a competition and being pulled along, that they didn't see any problem with it. My accountability people, they were like, yeah, of course we're doing this. It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be great. Whereas I was sort of more resisting and I knew I was going to resist because it was challenging part of me to sort of stop and say, wow, look at what I've done. Look how great it is that I've done all this stuff. But they didn't see that. They just thought, yeah, of course. You know, so it's interesting, isn't it? Being on the inside, the inside job and the outside job, you know. But yeah, for me, it's having accountability. For other people, having that accountability makes them less motivated to do things.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, and true. I don't know how you guys are. Do you find the same? If you need external accountability, or having external accountability is actually a pressure and it stops you from doing things?
Well, I'm a fellow obliger. So
yay, welcome. Yeah.
I love Gretchen too.
You can be a member of our Geeks Club too. Yay.
I need like some accountability, but not too much where I feel like it's kind of there needs to be a balance, let's put it that way, for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get rebellious. I get rebellious.
I thought you might be. Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm telling me what to do, I don't like it, you know? And so I need to have a really interesting, like, kind of relationship with myself and with other people around that. Like, it helps me a lot to make it fun and playful. If anything feels like work, and to me, accountability feels like work. It feels like I'm going to be punished if I don't do it, you know? And even if that's not the case, even if that's not the case, if there's any sense for me that there might be shame in it, then it doesn't work for me. So to me, for me, it helps me much more to make things fun and playful and to ease into them that way. And then once the ball is rolling, I can keep it rolling. You know, that's what works for me.
Jordana, do you think Paige is a rebel?
It very much sounds like it, doesn't it?
It does sound like it.
I am. That's
right. Yeah, I think she would agree. Yeah.
I think we've diagnosed you. Yeah. Don't read the book, Paige. You're not allowed to read a book about it. It's too fun. You'd just have too much fun reading that book. I wouldn't read it if I was you.
Well, you really know your stuff, Jane.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because, you know, like, to go back to something you were talking about earlier, Jane, like, there's when I used to think that this meant there was something wrong with me.
Right. There you
Something's
go.
Wrong yep. with me. I'm not like other people this way, you know. But the fact is, nothing is wrong with any of us. What works, works. And what doesn't, doesn't. And knowing that is incredibly helpful. And knowing that and saying yes to it, like not trying to make ourselves into someone we're not. By doing what works for other people, you know, like saying yes to who we are, what works for us and what doesn't, is the most helpful way forward with any kind of creative endeavor.
Definitely. Yeah.
So Jane, can you tell us a bit about a project that's currently lighting you up, that you're excited about?
Yes. So, well, it also has to do with podcasting, naturally.
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically all I do these days. And actually, the sort of success that you might see today is from just knuckling down on just the one thing, which was podcasting. So if it doesn't have something to do with podcasting, not doing it. Because I used to do a lot of things, right? And, you know, trying to build all these bridges to Paradise Island and never getting there because I had all these half-finished bridges. And then, yeah, choosing one bridge, which is podcasting, has really helped me. So that's just one thing. The project that I'm particularly passionate about at the moment that I'm working on is the other podcast that you mentioned in my intro, the Jandals in Japan podcast. And a jandal is a Japanese sandal, which we in New Zealand call a jandal, which is a, I don't know, in your country, what would you call it? Like a beach sandal, a thong, what would you call it? Flip-flop. Yeah. There you go. A flip-flop. So flip-flops in Japan doesn't sound very good, but it's for New Zealand people, it's kind of one of our sort of standard national footwear is the flip-flop, right? And so, and it's also a very New Zealand word, jandal, right? So a New Zealander would look at that podcast title and know exactly what that podcast is about. And every New Zealander who we've said this is a podcast just sort of laughed and goes, great name. And everybody else goes, what's a jandal? Anyway.
I didn't know.
I literally Googled it.
Yeah, right. You had to Google, right? So if you had to Google, it's not for you kind of thing, but no. So the podcast is about Japanese and New Zealand, like bridges between the country. Right, the two countries. And it's about businesses from New Zealand doing business in Japan, or, you know, sports people from New Zealand doing sports in Japan, or vice versa kind of thing. So we want to show the amazing network of businesses and sports people and artists and things who are building the relationship between these two countries that I love. And that people often ask me, oh, Jane, if you had to choose one, which would you choose, Japan or New Zealand? And I would say, don't make me choose. I can't live without Japan. I can't live without New Zealand. I need both. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been very interested in international relations, in understanding other cultures, you know, that sort of cultural understanding thing. I thought I wanted to be a foreign diplomat when I was younger, and I thought I had to go to law school and join the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to do that. Turns out things have come full circle, and now I'm doing what I wanted to do when I was a teenager, but I'm doing it through the medium of podcasting. And yeah, we've had some amazing effect on, I don't know, just sort of like listeners listening to our podcast and going and doing something, achieving something, starting a new connection, or some of our guests working together and creating collaborations that are building bridges between Japan and New Zealand. So it's something I never thought I would see myself doing, but now that I'm in it and I'm doing it, it's so much fun. And it's this a topic that I'm very passionate about, which is the relationship between Japan and New Zealand. So yes, that is a project that I'm very passionate about, and it looks like podcasting a lot of the time and interviewing people, but it's also coming into real life as well, and it's ticking that other box of that connection thing in real life. So I get to actually go and meet people face to face, go to events for New Zealanders, you know, just all sorts of things are happening at the moment, raising funds for a massive cyclone that devastated a large part of New Zealand. All sorts of, yeah, interesting things are coming out of starting this project that I had no idea about, and that started exactly a year ago.
Oh, it's only been a year.
Yeah, it's only been a year that we've been doing Jandals. And I have to tell you the origin story of the project. Can I tell you that?
Yes,
of course. It's a very interesting story, I feel. Anyway, so my co-host and collaborator, Catherine O'Connell, had been saying to me, we need to do a podcast about Japan and New Zealand. And I was like, yeah, yeah, I don't have time for that. I'm very busy. But, you know, I cannot do another podcast. It's, you know, impossible. And then one day I woke up from, you know, in the morning, I woke up with my father's voice in my head. My father passed away 15 years ago, and he was, and his voice is very, very memorable, sort of deep booming voice that he had. And he was just saying, you need to do a podcast with Catherine. That was what I woke up to one morning. And I was like, whoa, that's never happened to me before. I don't normally have visitations from my father in my, you know, dreams and things. So yeah, I thought, right, I have to take action on this. So I said, Catherine, you're right. We need to do this podcast. Let's get started. And she was like, yay. And yeah, off we went. So here we are a year later, and it's just growing from strength to strength. So all sorts of things are happening. It's an amazing project that, yeah, a year ago, I hadn't even, yeah, just had no idea.
Wow. Well, there's an answer to your question about intuition, huh, Jordana?
Yes.
That's another one. Yeah. Yes. Listen to your father's voice when it comes to you in a dream.
A lot of people would just ignore it, though, you know.
Yeah.
You can go one of two ways in that situation, hey, and to trust yourself to listen to it and go, okay, yeah, no, I'm actually going to do it.
But it was kind of me resisting that as well. Like, and I think my father had to step in and say, come on, Jane, you need to do this. That's what I feel like it is. The old head was getting in the way again, saying, you don't have time for this. You're a busy mother of two kids who do, you know, all these things. And how are you going to find time to do this extra new project? Good luck with that. But yeah. Something.
And you are doing it.
I'm doing, and I made time for it because now it's a priority, right? We have time for our priorities. Funny that.
And it's such a difference to people, you know, and that's really your mission, isn't it? Like bringing people together and bringing more voices to the world.
Yes.
Through podcasting.
Yeah. That undeserved voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Through podcasting, creating relationships. It's really powerful. And this bridge that you're building between the two countries you love, I loved how you put that, is a powerful thing that is going to, and is already changing lives, you know, creating difference for people.
Definitely changing lives, making big ripples. So it's very exciting.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this conversation today, Jane. It's been a real joy speaking with you.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much, and all the
Thank
best
you.
for the Creativity Cafe. Just
Thank you.
don't give up. That's my other big advice.
We're going strong, aren't we, Jordan?
Yes. Yes.
So when people want to find you online, where can they do that, Jane?
Yeah, I actually hang out on Instagram quite a lot. So if you come over to Instagram and you can find me, my favorite account, I have many Instagram accounts, as you probably also do
I do,
too,
yeah.
is at Transformations with Jane. You'll find me there.
Great. Thanks again, Jane. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you, Jane. Now it's time for our Ask Us Anything section. This is when we answer questions about the creative practice. So, Paige, can you tell us what's today's question?
Yes, this question comes from Grace in Japan, and she has asked us what we enjoy most about making the podcast. How about you, Jordana? What do you enjoy most about it?
It's probably quite obvious and probably both the same, but I just love speaking to women and finding out like their backstory. I really love to hear people's stories of like how they got to where they are today. And
Yeah.
like that connection from their childhood to now, and like the similarities of like what they loved as a child and what they love as an adult. I love to hear that story.
Yeah, that through line.
Yes, So interesting.
It really is. And so often it's just so interesting to like kind of see how people are who they are from the beginning, a lot of the time, right? Even creatively, like the things that preoccupied you or that you just loved so much as a kid, you could easily still enjoy, 40 years later.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that really is wonderful. It's the whole journey is interesting, isn't it? The whole path
It
from,
is.
yeah, from childhood to whatever it is that someone is doing now and enjoying now, like all the ways that we get to that place are so varied, but also there is a lot of similarities too, aren't there?
There are, yeah. There are. I think that's quite interesting, is to see how like everyone's got to a certain point. And they started at a certain point, but the way to get to that end point, is can be quite different, but also quite similar. So, it's
Yeah,
interesting.
it is.
How about for you, Paige? Like, what do you find fun about the podcast?
I really enjoy, well, I enjoy basically everything about it. There's not much that I don't
I
enjoy.
know, hey.
But I think if I had to really pinpoint like a favorite part, I love the part of like discovering people, like who we might want to invite on the podcast and like what people are doing the world over, from all different backgrounds, people who have all different like native languages and cultures and traditions and interests. Like, I just find it so interesting how like the creative urge and the way we work with it, there are these universalities, to no matter where you're from, like things that are common and things that feel just like they spark joy in so many different people all over. And we get to discover them and like talk to them. That process of finding them and seeing, like, oh, this person is really interested in this thing and it might be really cool to talk to her. I love that part.
It is amazing because the more, we speak the women, the more we're kind of looking at different artists around the world, you just realize there's just so many interesting women out there. Like
Yeah.
how lucky we are to be able to get to, speak to so many of them, and it's endless.
It's endless, and it's just like it's also just kind of humbling you know, like, I don't know, there are so many interesting people, and it is a real gift to get to have these conversations and to have people come and share themselves with us and with our listeners. I find it's just an honor, you know.
It really is, because as creative people, we all have an internal dialogue about who we are and what we do. But then to like open it up to other people as well, it's a really generous thing, I think, for people to share that story, to, you know, to share a bit of themselves, but also for other people to hear the stories and realize, oh, like, it's not just me who thinks that way, or it's not just me who struggles with that, or, you know, hearing a kindred spirit, you know, through a podcast sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing too, like, some of the main feedback we get is people saying how inspiring it is to hear another person's creative, like, story, you know, and what they do to overcome, like, what stands in their way, or how they go about doing what they do. It is so inspiring to even just get to, like, listen to it, you know, and it makes you kind of want to run off and do your own thing right away.
Yes, I've done it. I've sometimes finished the interview, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go get my sewing machine out. Let me go get my embroidery needles and thread, let me try something.
Exactly, because it can remind you, oh, I love that thing too, and I haven't done that in forever. So that, I think, is a lot of stuff that we enjoy, huh?
I think every aspect brings a different element, doesn't it, to the enjoyment of making this podcast. So we feel so lucky, don't we, to be able to do this.
Yeah, it's just such a joy. And I consistently want to thank, you know, everyone who comes on the show and everyone who listens too, because we're all doing this together.
Yes. You know? Yep.
And we're very appreciative of everyone who's in this community with us. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, because if you like the podcast and you listen to it every week, you know, we're in this community together. And how wonderful is that? Yeah.
I don't know, it kind of blows my mind sometimes to think, like, people all over the world are speaking to us in these conversations, and people all over the world are listening to them. And it's humbling. It really is.
Like, it is, yeah.
You know, thank you all for being part of our community at the Creativity Cafe and bringing your cup of tea or whatever you've got and being with us here. We appreciate it.
We truly do.
Yeah. So if you would like to send in a question, you are more than welcome to do that. We love hearing from you. Or even if you just want to say hi, we love hearing that too. You can reach out and contact us via direct message on Instagram. We are at the Creativity Cafe 21 there. And the other option is, Jordana?
You can go to the Apple Podcasts app. And if you're on the Creativity Cafe page, if you scroll down to the bottom, there's an option to leave a review. So in that review box, you can leave your message there and we will include it in episode.
Thanks, everyone. We can't wait to hear from you.
Thanks for joining us today on the Creativity Cafe.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and share it with your friends.
And follow us on Instagram at the Creativity Cafe 21 for special updates and sneak peeks behind the scenes.
Catch you again next time. Keep creating.